This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org. He joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk a little growth and development. But Brian, this is I wasn't here on Tuesday, so you were very nice to oblige me. And is there something wrong with that?
No,
is that not working?
It was strangling my ears.
So okay.
Just took it off for a second.
So I appreciate you coming in on Thursday. By the way, have you heard my new news swoosh?
Let me hear, Coy.
Is that totally cool?
How are you going to use that?
I love it. Yeah, I use it to start this new little segment where I read little newsy news items, news bits and pieces, and I'll just do the swoosh in between.
Oh.
Yeah, so do that like once a week.
Okay, good.
Don't you love it?
National news? Local news? What kind of news?
It's national.
National news.
National stuff.
All
yeah.
right.
It's the things of interest to us all. And well, you get the swoosh. And here's Brian Wheeler.
Now I like it.
So how are you doing?
Good.
What's going on in your life?
There may be some accidents as I start talking here about taxes and
the
budget.
Local leaders want to raise taxes.
There's not a lot of good news here.
Well, they're broke like everybody else. Who's got money?
The county board of supervisors learned in the past week that the current year's shortfall, so the fiscal year that we're currently in, went from about $4 million to $7-something million.
Oh, my gosh. It's almost double.
So that's
up by, what, 75%?
That's just this current year.
Holy cow. So they budgeted incorrectly.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. The revenues are not what they expected. So it's sales tax revenues. It's revenues on real estate property taxes.
Yeah.
Things like that.
So where do they cut? Like in local government like that, where usually do they cut? We all know that they don't, like planned new hires don't happen and they don't fill positions. So all the folks who have the jobs in local government, in a sense, end up taking a pay cut because they don't get their cost of living increases and they have to pick up work and do more work for the folks who are either, of the people they're not hiring or replacing. So it's really tough for those folks. But other than that, like, where are they going to cut?
Well, they're cutting back on capital projects. That's one of the things you did not mention. $100 million being taken out of the county's capital budget.
And that's now, like that's new parks. And
yeah, now that's a five-year plan for the CIP, they call it. But taking $100 million out for libraries, parks, emergency facilities.
So no new Crozet Library, I guess.
It'll be delayed.
Oh, ouch.
Yep.
Man, a lot of folks out there were excited about
that. So that's one place you can cut, because even if you are bonding some of those projects, you're taking on debt to do them, there's an operational cost. You have to pay the bank back, so to speak, during the year. So those projects have operational cost. As you build new buildings, you have additional cost to maintain them and run them and operate them.
Yeah.
So if you have a new building, that means you have to pay more to have it. So by delaying some of those projects, they will recognize some savings in their plan. It's money that they won't be spending.
Right,
But as you mentioned, the key place where any government looks is in people. And for the local government in Albemarle County, that's primarily in positions not being filled. And they will be up to 47 positions that will not be filled. And then not giving raises. That's one of the other assumptions in this current financial plan. No raises for this next year. The next year we're budgeting.
Yeah. And that means not just a raise because, hey, you're a good gal and you're doing a great job, but just cost of living increases.
Nothing for merit, nothing for cost of living. The inflation rate right now is running about 5%. So on goods and services, we're all paying about 5% more than we did last year for that basket of goods that they use to measure the consumer price index.
Right, right. So for the folks who don't get a cost of living increase, which of course is everybody at UVA as well, when the governor said, all state employees won't get a cost of living increase, that is by default a pay cut because the price of goods and services, as you point out, goes up.
So in this economy where we're all facing choices, whether it's at your home or in local government, about, how do we get by with less? Local government in Albemarle County has been trying to frame it a couple different ways that have been in the news. One is looking at what they call the revenue neutral perspective. And that what that means is they're asking themselves the question, how can we operate government the way we were or the way we wanted to this year, forget about the current shortfalls, but how could we operate government the way we had thought we were going to do it this year, not give raises, but basically do the same thing without doing new things? So don't do any new initiatives, don't give new salary increases. What would it take to how much revenue would we need to keep on level
ground? To do what we did last year.
Right.
Okay.
That will require a higher property tax rate because the value of real estate has dropped a little bit in Albemarle County. So they will be collecting less. So they know they're collecting less. So the question is, how many pennies would you have to add to a 71-cent tax rate to end up being revenue neutral? And the number that county staff came up with was increasing the tax rate by 5.2 cents. So you go from 71 to 76.2 cents. So 76.2 would be the tax rate if you wanted to be revenue neutral. Same operations, but just move to the
now,
next
Now, the anti-tax folks are going to say they're not going to pay attention to the revenue neutral part, and they're going to say, you're raising taxes. You're asking me to pay more than I'm paying now.
Yes, lots of people will say that.
Yeah.
Anytime the tax rate goes up, people
whether
will say,
whether you're anti-tax
you're
or not.
Taxes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
the, but in the end, if I hear you right, the county is not actually getting any more money, or are they?
They would not be.
Okay.
Now, they would, but again, it depends how you look at it. So if you're a taxpayer and the value of your house, of your asset has gone down, and then government says, oh, but we're raising the rate, that feels like a tax increase.
Yeah.
Right? Your asset is worth less, but you're paying the same amount of taxes you paid on it last year.
You're paying more on an asset that's worth less.
Yeah, you'd be paying the same amount.
Yeah, okay, that's
but
the
your
important.
Asset is worth less.
Right.
So that, so on average, people would feel like that's a tax increase.
But would the check you're writing be the same?
Yeah. That's what they were
be.
Shooting for.
It right? would be. And that's the whole goal of the revenue neutral budget.
That was one of the
Let's
goals.
Have it so that people write the same check they wrote last year.
Right. Now, that number is actually a little lower. And let me get into that one real quick. 74.5 cents was a rate that much talked about because that was the rate where the average residential property owner would be kept at the same, paying the same amount
okay.
as you just said.
Yeah.
So that's a little less. The reason they got up to 76.2 is to take into account some things like revenue sharing with the city of Charlottesville. So remember, when I'm throwing out these tax rates for Albemarle County, so we'll take the 76.2 one, the revenue neutral position staff came up with, you have to take 10 cents off because that all goes to the city of Charlottesville for revenue sharing. So you'd be running the county on 66.2 cents. Of on $100 assessed value of your property. So that's just something to keep in mind. 10 cents goes to the city.
Yeah. So well, that is very important because you usually don't hear people talking about that.
So that 76.2 is revenue neutral. Now, David Slutsky introduced something that ended up being a little controversial, which was a service neutral position. What would it take? What tax rate would you need to do all the things we promised we were going to do?
And again, this is Albemarle County.
Right, yeah. Albemarle County. So we have a strategic plan. What did we say we were going to do? Did we say we were going to give raises to our employees? Well, yes, we did. So what would that cost? Did we say we were going to hire police officers? Well, yep, we did. Did we say we were going to give social service agencies an adjustment each year to take into account things like inflation? Did we say we were going to keep paying the city of Charlottesville more money as revenue sharing increases? Yes, we did. So that's service neutral. What would it take to do all the things we said we were going to do? That takes a tax rate, a hypothetical tax rate, up to 90 cents. Now, David Slutsky said, let's start there. Let's start the conversation there and work backwards. Which of those items, let's debate, which of those things are we willing to say to the taxpayers, we can't do that this year? So let's take it off the table. Now, he has been very clear since he first brought this up that he never expected the rate to ever be that high.
Yeah.
But that's...
Let's start the conversation there and then crossed off the list
right.
to bring that down so that maybe there's some things you absolutely want to do, like hiring new police yep. officers.
Now, if anyone's listening who is about to call and say, well...
They're listening, Brian.
The elected officials that want no change in the rate. Well, that would be nobody. All of the supervisors expected the tax rate to go up. And 74.5 was sort of the low end, and 90 was sort of the high end.
Where
of
is it now?
Discussion. Well, right now, where we've ended up as a straw man sort of proposal or assumption in this five-year plan is 77 cents for next year's budget.
I mean, where is it now?
Oh, right now, today, it's 71 cents.
Okay. So and everybody on the current Board of Supervisors is saying we got to raise the rate.
From 71.
Somewhat. It's got to go
correct.
Up. So there's not one person on the Board of Supervisors now who's saying I'm not going to raise this rate.
Correct.
Okay. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the Executive Director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, about Albemarle County's tax plans. Is it a tax?
It is a tax, Coy.
Yeah, I mean,
it's the real estate property tax.
That's the main source of revenue. This rate is a tax.
It is a tax, yes.
And this is the main source of revenue for local government.
Right.
Is taxes on property.
Correct.
There you go. Tom has been waiting patiently on the line. Tom, you're on with Brian. Go right ahead.
Hey, Brian. Hi, Coy. Good to talk with you again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there are guys like Tom out here that are going to say you're increasing taxes no matter how you spin it, what you say. I don't know why the county supervisors can't get over the fact that the people in this county are hurting. The economy is continuing to spiral downward, and why in the world do the county supervisors think that they can get close to the same money they got last year when the average person in your county is doing with a whole lot less? It's time for those supervisors to go. It's time for county government to realize they have to cut back and only provide absolutely essential services. There are so many things being done that are just a complete waste of taxpayer money. And when times are good, you can get away with it fine. Times are not good. The county needs to look at every penny they spend and provide only essential services and not charge the taxpayers a penny more, whether you increase the tax rate or try to say they're going to pay the same thing they paid last year. The people in this county should not pay a penny more than they absolutely have to. The county has to do with less, not the people. You work for us.
Tom, let me ask you a question. Brian was talking earlier about this revenue neutral thing, right, Brian? So if Tom is saying, I don't want to pay any more than I did last year, I shouldn't
I'm not saying I don't want to pay any more than I did last year.
You want to pay less.
I don't want my rate to go up one penny. Based upon the value of my home, we pay taxes. The law provides for us to pay taxes on assessed current market value, not a penny more. If you raise my tax rate to cause me to pay the same thing I did last year, you're raising my taxes, and you've got some nerve doing that in an economy the way we have it now.
I got
you. Cut back what you're spending on. Cut your own salaries, but don't dip into my pocket.
Tom, did I explain it fairly, do you think?
I don't know that you did or didn't explain it fairly, but what I hear constantly, and the same thing I heard last time a couple weeks ago when I called in, is you keep referring to, well, they're not going to pay a penny more than they did last year, right? That is trying to sell it to the people and give them a sense that it's not an increase.
Well,
It is an increase. You are taking money out of the taxpayer's pocket, and you have no right and no business doing so in an economy the way it is now.
Tom, thank you so much.
To cut back on everything.
Tom, let Brian respond.
You know, I do think a lot of people share Tom's feeling about that, and I tried to sort of foreshadow that in my comments.
I think it's an excellent point.
As I point out to you, if the value of your asset is going down and you're being told the rate is going to go up to get it back so that the amount you're paying stays the same, a lot of people are going to have a problem with that.
Yeah, because the rate is going up, and at the end of the day, that's all people care about. I don't care if I'm paying the same thing I did last year. If my rate goes up, I'm actually paying more in the economic climate of this year.
Yep. And so, I think, you know, Tom's also right to point out this notion of essential services. You hear that described by the county executive, Bob Tucker, as, you know, what are the core services we need to provide? And that's what we need to focus on. That is definitely what Albemarle County's government is trying to do in their discussions. And, you know, Tom doesn't want to support it. It sounds like any supervisor that would raise that rate. As I said, they're all talking about raising it a little bit to try to get back to holding. Every supervisor has said this, and I'll single out Ken Boyd, because Ken has been one of the advocates for the low end, so 74.5. But when Mr. Boyd says, you know, that's the rate we should start with, and he's okay with that for the budget, he says, I support that because that holds harmless in his mind those residential property owners, because they'll be paying the same amount. I certainly understand where Tom's coming from. He thinks they should be paying less because we're all struggling with this economy.
Yeah. Well, and his whole point is, and I don't want to speak for him, but they need to look a little harder at the cuts and get to core services, which sounds to me like a conversation that David Slutsky is wanting to have, albeit putting everything on the table and then taking it off one by one. He might not go as far as Tom wants to go, for example. We need to get a break in here, folks. We're going to break for local news and weather and continue this very conversation on the other side. What say you, 977-1070? And Tom, thank you very much for the call. 977-1070. Do you agree with Tom? And what is your take on this for the future of taxes here in Albemarle County? This is Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org. And Brian, we're talking about Albemarle County's efforts to fund government, right. Local government.
Well, and let me clear up a couple things before we take a few more calls. I just want to point out that no tax rate has been set for the next budget. This is a conversation about a five-year plan, and staff need some assumption to get their planning going and then come back to the supervisors with a proposed budget. So Bob Tucker will take this. The compromise number they came up with, as I only said that briefly, was 77 cents on the real estate property tax
rate. So they've all agreed on 77.
Well, they didn't all agree on it, but four of them did. Four of them agreed on 77. There were competing motions back and forth. Four of them agreed on 77. Mr. Boyd voted against it, and Lindsay Dorier from Scottsville voted against it. But that 77 gives direction to Bob Tucker as to what assumption to have in his budget. So now he will bring a budget to the Board of Supervisors, and there will be work sessions and public hearings throughout, you know, February, March, April of next year.
About that 77 number.
Right, and about the budget in total.
Yeah, which 77 is an increase of
6 cents.
6 cents.
And let me just tell you how the people that voted for the 77, they viewed six of those of those 6 pennies of the increase, 2.5 they saw as creating and funding a new reserve fund, a rainy day fund, is something that the county really has not budgeted as a discrete line item in their budget. Last year, they sort of fell into one because they set aside a penny in what they called a lockbox. So they had 1 penny set aside. Now what they're proposing is that 2.5 pennies plus a little more would go into this new reserve fund. So 3.5 is part of that revenue neutral sort of frame. How do we keep doing what we've been doing but make sure that the impact on the average taxpayer?
What would motivate them in this economic climate to decide that it's time to start saving for a rainy day fund? Because increase taxes so that you can have a rainy day fund.
Because they don't know how bad things are going to get. And by that, I mean they don't know what the state is going to do in the General Assembly.
Yeah.
So the governor is releasing a draft budget next week. The General Assembly will start meeting early in 2009. And they don't know how bad it's going to get.
My guess is it's going to be a hard sell. You think? 77?
Well, they got 4 votes to put it on the table. So the conversation will happen. And obviously, we've got callers who want to talk about it.
We do indeed. Let's go to the phones. And Peter is on line two, been waiting patiently. Peter, thank you for the call. You're on with Brian Wheeler. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Coy. And Brian, hello. How are you?
Very good.
I'd like to just, talk a little bit about it. First of all, I think when you look at real estate taxes, I would fall into the situation that says, if we need to raise the rate in order to maintain flat spending or flat revenues as it relates to real estate tax, I don't have a real big problem with that. However, it's a little, we've got to be really careful, because while assessments are down on an average of about 3% for residential, they're actually up 3%. So we could see businesses with the current tax rate, or with the 77, or what's even higher, as Mr. Tucker suggested might happen, you could be looking at 10 or 12% real estate increases, tax bills for commercial. And we all know that businesses don't pay taxes. Consumers pay taxes. As far as the revenue sharing piece goes, I'm a little concerned about that, because it almost seems as if at the last minute we figured out we're going to have to pay another $4 million to Charlottesville. This was a highly predictable expense that we knew 18 months ago about what it was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for us to now say, well, gee, we didn't know about it, or even to imply that that wasn't in the mix, I think says that maybe we didn't do the right planning last year, and we should have anticipated that. The 1 cent, to some extent, the 1 cent lockbox anticipated a bad economy or a flat economy, and now we only see it's getting worse. The other thing I would ask is that we really need to be looking at what the school needs are as well. This conversation has been totally happening in a vacuum, at least as far as I can see, and we've been fixing cents per case, or cents per hundred, based on what the local county government needs are, but we really have to take into account as well the school needs. So we're really ignoring 60% of the spending when we don't consider that.
Peter,
yep.
I don't know if you want to share any of your thoughts about the local government resource utilization study. What sort of prospects do you see for that?
Well, I really don't know. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you look at the historical perspective of what the county's done in the last 8 years, we've basically increased our spending by over 75%. And this has been happening because of huge, huge real estate assessment increases and not a corresponding decline in the tax rate. So, folks, real estate taxes have been up 110%. The point is that was there any waste or was there maybe some opportunity to reorganize and do things right? Because as businesses, when businesses get an influx of tremendous cash, and the government's no different, there's a tendency to add on things and expand here and enlarge here, but there's never really somebody sitting back and, okay, let's take a look at the whole organizational structure and you know, maybe we can improve services and not expand on the spending as much. As far as what I think is going to happen, I think that the CP folks did a great job for the school system. I think they were fair. I think they made sense. I hope they do the same thing for the county. And I think it'll provide at least some basis for us saying, okay, what opportunities do we have there? I think we need to look a lot more creatively about how we're spending money. And, you know, as I look at things, I'm not anti-tax. What I am is anti-wasting of money. And there's ample, you know, indications. I mean, we can just have to look at the Hollymead Firehouse, a $6 million firehouse built to last 100 years. Who's doing the thinking?
Peter, good call.
Peter, thank you. Excellent points and a lot of insight there.
The only thing I would add to Peter's remarks, the resource utilization study is something that local government is undertaking right now. They're expecting that report back soon. And the idea behind that is it will show them some ways to be more efficient, more effective
with
the tax dollars they have. On predicting, you know, the revenue sharing, I think that is something that, you know, was in the model. They expected it to happen. What was not in the model was this economic crisis. So that's what's really torpedoed the sales tax and property tax revenues to the point where, you know, the model wasn't prepared for that.
Before we go to Bob, Bob's been waiting really patiently too. We'll be right with you, Bob. Peter has an excellent point that spending has skyrocketed over the last 10, 15, 20 years as more people live in Albemarle County and as the values of the homes have gone through the roof. So spending at the government level has skyrocketed. And a lot of that spending is based on a great economy with great real estate values. And we don't live in that economy anymore. So I think this study that's being done of where can we cut is the first step, because it looks like they're going to have to do really, really cut and then cut some more. I mean, in places where folks would think, oh, no, we can't cut that, we're going to have to.
Yeah. Well, I think it's always good to critique, you know, growth and expenditures. But at the same time, you have to recognize that we've had a growing community. And we expect to continue to grow, and a growing urbanizing community.
Yeah, and the government is serving more and more people. Yeah,
And so you've got more people here that want services, whether it's libraries, fire rescue, roads, schools, etc. And those things cost money, and that's part of the growth you're seeing.
Well, how much money could we save if we got rid of the fourth grade, just across the board? No fourth grade.
We'll look into that. I sort of dodged.
Put them to work.
I dodged Peter's question about schools because Coy and I try not to talk about schools.
Brian, of course, is chairman of the Albemarle County School Board. It's a small town, and we wear many hats here.
But Peter knows where to find me. So
yeah, and of course, just so folks know, you as chairman and the school board and the team that you work with. Y'all have been very busy trying to figure out how can we do this? Where are we going to make cuts, and how do we make this work?
I mean, what I can say is both schools and local government, that's sort of how we describe the two factions of government in the county and in the city for that matter, are both starting the budget process. We're early in the process right now, and the governor has a part of the process next week. The superintendent of our schools gives us her funding request next Wednesday. And so this conversation is going to be going from now till the end of April.
When do they set? When is all this done?
In April, the tax rate will be set, and then the budgets will be approved after
that.
There
you go. Let's go to Bob. Bob, you've been very, very patient. I can't thank you enough. You go right ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I've enjoyed listening to this discussion. I have to wholeheartedly agree with Tom and your previous caller. This conversation kind of makes me think that there's a disconnect, not only at the national level between our congressmen and the countrymen, the people, the workers, the people that are out there working every day, paying their bills and doing the right things, and congressmen who seem to think that there's just create money by fiat and spend $8 trillion. That's a huge amount of money, and it seems like our local people, that there's a disconnect there, too. I mean, if we have a growing community, that's one thing that I think our representation has been real quick to approve new developments, especially I live out in Crozet. There's so much development out here, and the population out here has just been explosive in the last few years, and no infrastructure. The county just keeps on approving these developments, and no infrastructure. And then now they want to hit us all with increasing our real estate taxes. I agree with Tom and the previous caller.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to taxes, but I only want to pay what I'm supposed to pay, and I expect, especially like Tom said, in these economic times, we're in a severe recession, and people may not realize it yet, and we may be headed for a depression. And these local school board representatives and the county board of supervisors better start realizing this and start cutting spending. Serious.
Bob,
it's not the 80s and it's not the 50s when we're in a happy, fat economy.
Bob, thank you so much. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I really appreciate it. And it's excellent, excellent points, and I agree with that.
Yeah, and let me pull a few things together that Bob mentioned. A growing number of communities approved in Altamaha County. That's certainly been the case.
How many homes are in the pipeline still?
Over 10,000.
Are approved?
Approved, not built. Over 10,000.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of those are out in Crozet. So Old Trail Village still has a lot of potential for new construction there that hasn't been done yet. But, you know, let's take a specific infrastructure project near and dear to the hearts of people out in Crozet, which is Jarman's Gap Road. That's one of the three road projects that Albemarle County said, if we can only do three things in the next 6 years, let's do those three. Jarman's Gap Road, Meadow Creek Parkway, and Georgetown Road. Now, Jarman's Gap has not been able to get started. And what the county started doing was setting aside money. They would take pennies off the tax rate, set that aside, and try to raise their own money because they weren't getting enough money from the state. So one of the other things you see happening when it comes to transportation and local government is that pressure from people out in Crozet saying, do something about Jarman's Gap. Unfortunately, there's not enough coming from the developer didn't proffer, oh, I'm going to build Old Trail, so I'll fix all of Jarman's Gap for you. I mean, that would have been a huge proffer. Now, back when Old Trail was approved, 2004, 2005, Albemarle County wasn't getting those kinds of proffers. Today, when you have a development like Biscuit Run, the proffers were much bigger and far-reaching in the transportation network. Back then, that didn't happen. So a little bit of that is timing. The proffers for Biscuit Run are also now adjusted for inflation. So whenever those homes are built, the proffers, the cash that a developer will pay per household is going to be more than at the time it was approved. Not so with Old Trail. So you've got a road project, but Dennis Rooker, who's one of the supervisors who's most plugged into transportation matters, he sort of reached a new low this week in his mind. And let me see if I can just briefly say that because it's important. He said, you know, the state has not been funding the responsibility. We tried to take matters into our own hands to some degree, set aside some of our own tax dollars because they weren't being collected in Richmond. We had to collect them locally to get some of these road projects done. But you know what? We're just not saving enough money to do it fast enough. The inflationary cost on these projects keeps going up. And He said, you know, given the prospects of this next General Assembly, where no one expects, you know, more money for transportation. In fact, Mr. Rooker said, we in Albemarle County expect to get 12%, only 12% of the amount that we got 5 years ago from the Commonwealth.
Wow.
Gosh.
So the Commonwealth's contribution to roads in Albemarle County, secondary road fund, will only be 12% of what it was 5 years ago. He finally said, and I've never heard him say this, you know what? I think maybe we just need to stop trying to do it ourselves, and we just need to let these projects not happen or the potholes develop and let it start falling apart so that our residents will know where the source of the problem is, and it's in Richmond. Now, that's Mr. Rooker's perspective. But yeah. I never heard him, you know, sort of reach that point.
Well, that was always before. The deal in Virginia, Brian. In Virginia government, the local governments would fund the schools and operate the schools, and the state government would fund the infrastructure for roads, because they recognize that that's actually a huge investment in commerce. And we recognize that in the 20s and the 30s with the Byrd machine, and that all started to move forward. And that's one reason, you know, fast forward decades, that Virginia has such a great business environment, is because we made those huge investments in roads back in the 30s and 40s. But they're not doing it anymore. I mean, let's face it. The very conservative wing of the Republican Party in Richmond has put an end to that tradition, and they've defunded the roads. We don't get the money anymore. I mean, it's dropped 78% in 5 years, the funding for roads, and we only need more. We need more than we did 5 years ago because we have so many more people here.
Now, then again, you've got some people arguing right now that in these tough economic times, it's not the time to be investing money in these big projects.
Excellent point.
And
yeah.
The City Planning Commission, this hasn't made the news, I don't think, but the City Planning Commission this week, we may need your news little soundbite here, Coy. There you go. basically voted to defund the Meadow Creek Parkway in the city's portion of the Meadow Creek Parkway in their capital plan this week. So
wow, that is a big underreported story.
Not only did
it's not going to happen, even though it's approved.
Well, I think City Council is going to overrule them, but City Planning Commission was trying to flex, you know, its little muscles at this point in the discussion about the capital budget and say, listen, maybe this isn't the time to be investing that kind of money in the Meadow Creek Parkway, the city's portion.
Yeah.
And by the way, in the minds of these planning commissioners, I think four of the six or seven, they said, you know, we ought to be investing in parks and trails and other things besides roads. So one of the other challenges with a big road project like the Meadow Creek Parkway is if it sits around long enough and doesn't get built, you know, you have new people come into office who have different opinions about it. You're seeing that also on the water supply. David Brown pointed out, former mayor, Dr. Brown in the city pointed out that he was the only city councilor who was in office when the water supply plan was approved. Now you've got four newer city councilors asking questions that he went through.
Yeah, asking the same questions and looking at that same plan.
So that's another risk to you know, some of these big projects, that new people come in and have different opinions about them. But I just point that out. You know, Bob's call, I think, was a good one. And that,
oh, great calls.
That connection about infrastructure and Crozet and this sort of unfunded mandates, these things getting pushed off to local government, because if Richmond's not going to fund them and the money's not coming from the federal level, which we get very little federal funding, then that only leaves the Board of Supervisors, and they have very few revenue options. The only new one they're looking at relates to regional transit and transportation, and that's something we'll talk about in future shows a lot.
Yeah, we can talk about that next
that
week.
That relates to a proposed sales tax increase, so you're going to be hearing about that.
We will bring that up on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, when Brian joins us again. We'll talk about this effort to create a regional transit authority. David Toscano will also be with us that day.
Oh, good.
He'll talk about his efforts to get that through the General Assembly. Brian, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.